Read John 13, verses 1 through 17. Reading from John 13, beginning at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Call your attention to the first verse of the chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Let's pray. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the reading of Scripture to our hearts, that it may already have been edifying to us to be present with your word. But we pray also now, be with the one who preaches, be with your servant who brings your word to us and explains it. We pray that he may explain it rightly and with clarity and with conviction to the upbuilding of our hearts. We pray then that we may have listening ears, may receive the word, and that it may be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you look at Jesus, what do you see? How do you view him? As you live with him, think of him on a daily basis, how do you think of him? You may say, "He is my Savior from sin. He is my King. is my Lord, my Master. I view him as sovereign, as powerful, all powerful even. He is my shepherd. He is my friend. He is the great physician, the healer of my soul. He is a deliverer. Those are all true, absolutely true. But do you remember his love? Do you remember his love? Do you remember that all of these, he is in love for you? He is your Savior because he loves you. He is your King, your Lord, your Master in love for you. He is sovereign and powerful in love for you. He is your shepherd, your friend in love for you. Great physician, deliverer from sin because he loves you. Do we lose sight of that sometime? I do. And I think we all do. And that's where this text comes in. It reminds us that Jesus did it all in love. He is all that he is to us in love. Or to put it another way, this text gives us a window into Jesus' heart, into his very heart. It shows us his motive. The Holy Spirit, as it were, comes alongside of us and says to us, do you want to know what moved him? Do you want to know what motivated him to do everything that he did? And everything that he is doing? Look here. Look in the window of this text. And through this text, you'll see into Jesus' heart and you'll see that he was motivated by love. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And even as you really don't know someone, unless you understand the great motive of their heart, what moves them to do what they do, so too with Jesus. We really don't know him and understand him. Know him rightly, know him well, unless we understand his motive of love. So consider with me this morning, if you will, Jesus loving them to the end. A predominant love in the first place, a purposeful love, and a perfect love. We ought to see that this verse is very, very important just by its placement. By its placement in the narrative of John. It's a transition verse, if you will. It comes after we've read about Jesus' earthly life, his earthly ministry, his walking and such with his disciples. And it comes after that, it comes before, however, the final days of his life. And it is as if John stops for a moment and telling us the story of Jesus. And before he goes into the suffering of Jesus, he stops and he says, look, you need to understand something. Everything Jesus did, he did it in love. From the beginning all the way to the end, he loved you. He loved you. So this is not just history, though it is history. This is not just a relating of facts. This is not just telling us about the foundation of a tremendous religion. It is that. But the heart of it all was relationship. A relationship of love between Jesus and his own. All that Jesus did, he did it in love. That was the predominant motive of his heart. In love for his own, the text tells us. In love for his own. That means his special property. those people that he had bought and purchased that belonged to him, or since he hadn't gone to the cross yet and bought them, the ones that the Father had given him, even from eternity that the Father had given him, his elect, his disciples in the first place. Having loved his disciples who were in the world, he loved them to the end. But also us and all who belong to him by faith, who are his possessions. He loved them to the end. He had always loved his own. That's what the text means when it says, having loved his own who were in the world. In everything he had done up to this point, he had done it in love. The incarnation, Jesus taking on human flesh and coming to this world and living among humans and living with all that this world brought to him, was an act of love. But so too were Jesus' miracles, his healings. He healed in love for those people. And when he cast out demons, it was in mercy and love. When he taught them, and he stood before the people and he taught them, not as sometimes we hear teaching today, this is my truth and this is your truth, not that. But he said to them, this is the truth. This is the truth. And he said it in love for them. All that he had done, he did it in love. But now too, he loved them, now that his hour had come. We're told that in the text. Now his hour to depart out of this world to the Father had come. The time when he would suffer and die. Knowing this, in love, he went forward very intentionally, very purposefully. The text uses the word telos in Greek, which means goal, with the goal in mind, the goal of their salvation, your salvation in mind. He went forward. That's really remarkable. That Jesus was not so dismayed at the thought of death that he couldn't love his own. You could understand that, couldn't you? He had to go to hell, you understand. Or at least he had to have the pains, the miseries, the suffering of hell upon himself. He had to suffer and die for us. It would be understandable if he was so absorbed with that he couldn't think of love for the moment. He couldn't love his own for the moment, but he didn't. He faced it, determined not to give up on his own, but to love them to the end. And we read of this love in this chapter and in the following chapters. In this chapter, we read that he loved them. Now, as he went forward to his suffering, he loved them. He loved them by washing their feet. That was a symbol of his love, of his selfless, sacrificial love. That's really what love is, isn't it? It gives to others. It's a giving thing. Jesus gave to his disciples an act of love. Verses 4 and 5, we read of that. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He showed them his love. That wasn't superficial, but that was Jesus' deep demonstration of love. He also went on in the chapter to institute the Lord's Supper. He broke bread with them, and he established the sacrament that we still have in love for them and for us. You know, think of that next time we have the Lord's Supper. When Jesus says, and you hear the words, "This do in remembrance of me." Remember his love. Remember his love. He gave you that sacrament as a token of his love, so that you could contemplate the love that he had for you as you hold that bread and drink the wine. In the following chapters also that carry on from here, chapter 15, 16, chapter 14, 18, his final words, they're called, his farewell discourse. They were words of love as he said farewell. Instruction regarding his departure and what will follow, encouragement he gave them, promising to be with them in the Holy Spirit. As he went forward now, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, when great drops of sweat came out of him like blood. If there be another way, but if there's not going to be another way whereby I can love my own, then your will be done, he said. Father, forgive them, he said as he hung upon the cross. As I grow older, that cross word is just remarkably beautiful. Father, forgive them. As the nails sunk into his flesh. What love. What love. And as we hear him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hear that as a cry of love for us. A cry of love for his God as well, but a cry of love for us, loving us in our place. He took our sin upon us, and therefore he took our suffering upon us as well. He took our death upon us. In our place, he atoned for our sins in love. In love for us. To his last breath, he loved us. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. To his end of his life upon earth. Is that how you view his life? Is that how you view everything that he did? View his suffering and his death, not just as events, history, stories about Jesus, but acts of love for you personally? You should view it that way, the text says. Meditate on that this week. Think about that. Just set some time aside to think upon some aspect of Jesus' work and to think of the immeasurable love that he had for you personally that moved him to do that. And pray. Pray that God will help you see that. Get a glimpse of his love in all that he did. And then trust him. Trust him too. Trust him more. Again, if you've trusted him in the past, but maybe for the first time, trust him. Trust him as your Savior. Who loves you. But we will find even more breadth and depth through his love when we compare his acts of love with how his disciples were responding as he loved them to the end. The text indicates this when it says that he loved his own who were in the world, who were in the world. But that's meant not the already perfected saints in the joy of heaven. He loved them too, to be sure. But they're not the focus of the passage. Rather, the text means the imperfect saints in the sorrows and confusion of this life here in this world. As you and I are, all of us here today, that's what's referred to. The people in the sorrows and confusion of this life in this world. That's demonstrated in the context, his love for them. Jesus, in love, began to wash their feet, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand. Peter objected. Verse 5, began to wash the disciples' feet, and then Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet. You shall never wash my feet. What are you doing? This isn't right. No, Lord, don't do it. Don't do it." Jesus was loving them. Single out Peter. Jesus was loving Peter. But Peter didn't understand. He didn't know Jesus' way of love. It seemed all wrong that Jesus would serve him, that he would get down on his knees in front of him and wipe his dirty feet. Has that ever been you? Have you ever been confused by his way of loving you? Sometimes when the Lord loves us, it doesn't seem right, does it? We don't understand. And the disciples, their confusion and sorrow over the coming events would only intensify. Jesus soon would allow himself to be arrested. Jesus would allow himself to be taken off as a prisoner, taken to the cross. Their trust in him would break. They would run off into the night, unbelieving and weak, leaving him alone. They did not understand. They lost sight of his love. They took their eyes off Jesus and his love for them. And they resorted then to their own ideas and to their own strength. They ran off. They left him frightened, confused, bewildered. And soon he would be tried and crucified. And he would die. He would be gone. Their faith was shaken. Their faith was shaken so much that they did not believe, even when reports had issued that he had risen. They didn't believe. Mark chapter 16 points that out. Verses 13 and 14. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Jesus even chastened them for that. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. Questions, no doubt, had arisen in their minds. I thought he was going to be king. I thought he was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. What has happened? We thought it was going to go so differently. They finally won. They finally caught him. They killed our Lord. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did Jesus leave us and abandon us? I thought he loved us. And yet he had exactly been loving them, hadn't he? He'd been suffering and dying in love for them. He would always, always love them to the end. It's a sad story, really, that they gave up on him. They didn't trust quietly with confidence. Somehow God will make this good. Perhaps he'll rise from the grave. They didn't believe it. They were weak. They were sinners. They were afflicted with unbelief. Even though he was loving them to the end, they did not know it, they did not understand, they did not respond as they should. In fact, they thought everything had gone horribly, horribly wrong. But the very opposite was true. He was loving them in the greatest way possible, laying down his life for his friends, loving them perfectly to the very end. He loved them. Do you see that? Can you grasp that as you look at it now? You know what he's saying then about your life, about my life, about our life now? You know what that says about our times when everything just went wrong? When nothing went the way you expected, nothing went the way it should have, you thought. Nothing went the way you wanted anyways. When you were just lost and hurting, confused and bewildered, why did God do this? Why did God do this to me? When your faith was shaken and you find the question in your heart, though you hardly dare ask it, where is God? Did he leave me? I don't understand. I don't understand. I thought he loved me. When you have those circumstances, and we all do, when you have those times in life, then remember what he says here. What he says in this text, I love you. I'm loving you right now. I'm loving you the way you need to be loved. I'm loving you in this difficulty, in this trial, in this thing that threatens to shake your faith. I love you in this, through this, exactly as you need, and I will love you to the end, to the goal. This is the way to the goal. You understand? The only way that I can take you to get you there. Trust me. I love you. Now take my hand and follow me. And he leads us in love. Sometimes into the darkness, sometimes into the gloom. And he says to us then, even when you can't see me, even when you can't feel my presence, remember this word. You love them. I love them to the end. And know that I'm doing this in love for you. If I loved you to the end of my life, I will love you to the end of yours. And that's all true, beloved. That's all true. We can take that as the final word of God on our life, no matter what things he leads us through. We can take that as his final word. Jesus loves us because he rose again. Just as it was reported to the bewildered disciples and just as it was recorded in Scripture, and he ascended. He rose, but then he ascended to the right hand of God, and he sits on the throne there at the right hand of God, governing all things in love for you. From there, to keep loving his own. And after your time in the world, after you no longer become those whom he loved in the world, but you enter heaven, your time of sorrow, bewilderment, and pain is over, then he will take you to be with him forever in heaven. You know, that's really in the text too. The text says, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world, and then these words, to the Father. There's a promise in that. If we understand the rest of Scripture, he redeemed us to join us to himself. What happens to him happens to us. If he went to the Father, he will take us there. In the perfect way for us. That's the ultimate goal of his love. To be with you in glory. To be with all his own there. And then when you appear there, beloved people of God, when you stand before Jesus face to face, then I won't need to ask you the question I asked at the beginning of this sermon. Remember that question? When you look at Jesus, what do you see? How do you view him? It will be your confession and your song forever and ever. I see his love. He loved me while I was in the world. He loved me to the end. He'll love me forever and ever. He loved me in the darkness and sorrow and pain of this life. He loves me forever. What a Savior. What a loving Savior. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son. We could not thank you enough for him, for Jesus, who loved us to the very end, who loves us now, who loves us now, through heartache, through sorrow, through times of difficulty and darkness, he loves us. If only we could believe that fully. We do believe it, Lord, but help our unbelief. Help us to trust you, to praise you, even in the midst of trials, and to wait patiently upon you and to confess, he loves me. He loves me in this way. I don't understand it. I don't need to. I only need to know that he loves me and that he's taking me to glory to be with him forever in this way and only in this way, and that he will love me there forever. And there I, in perfection, can begin to love him as he should be loved. In Jesus' name, amen.